This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Inshallah, we're going to continue in the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And subhanAllah, it's important to recognize that it's not something small to learn about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. In fact, it's 33% of your exam, the overall exam that you will have as soon as you pass away and you're put into the grave. And once you're in the grave and everybody leaves, the angels are going to come and ask you three questions. They're going to ask you a question, Man Rabbuk? Who is your Lord? Ma Dinuk? What is your religion? And Mada Taqulu Fi Hadha Ar-Rajul? And what do you say about this man right here? And it shocks me that sometimes a person may go through his whole entire life being a Muslim, but when you ask about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you don't know much about him. And so, subhanAllah, when the masjid is going and taking the effort to provide something even once a week for 15 to 20 minutes, you know, it's the bare minimum we can do to learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And especially for our children as well. I was in our school and we were talking and I said something about, I asked one of the students, I said, who is the coach for the Cowboys? And he answered a question without thinking for more than 3 seconds. Right away he answered it. Then right after I asked, who was the servant, or the servant known mainly in Medina, who was the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he started to look left and right and up and down. Right? And so it's actually very shocking that our children reach the age of 12, 13, 14, and they don't know the basic details of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as this one. And that's one of the goals of this Seerah Halaqah, not to go into so much details where it becomes burden for you to go to job tomorrow, but where it is simple and short enough that you kind of recognize who were the people around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What did they gain from his company? What made them the Sahaba? What made them get a title that if you and I were to get this title, we are the most successful people on this earth? And that title is radiyallahu anhum, that Allah is pleased with them. Today the effort is how my boss can be pleased. The effort is how my community can be pleased, how the government can be pleased, how this person can be pleased, that person can be pleased. And wallahi, I tell you, the pleasure of all the people combined will not help you a single bit if the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there. And the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is impossible to get unless you follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is only possible when you learn about who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So mashallah, I see some faces that have been in this halaqa since the very first day. And to be very honest, if I was to ask you how much did this
15 to 20 minutes a week take away from your life, it would be none. Nothing much. Not significant. But at the time when this halaqah is about to start, shaitan comes and he's like, hey, I think I need to do something. Even if something isn't there, shaitan will make something for you to do. So it's very important that we recognize that and able to battle our battles with shaitan to make sure. And it's not just this halaqah. When I say that, I see, mashallah, Mulana Kashif, he has the halaqah of Shama'il that talks about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked. How he, subhanAllah, the companions were so careful about everything of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one time he's in the house and a sahabiya, she's collecting his sweat. She's collecting the sweat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how detail oriented they were when they were trying to compile every single thing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why when the people would come from outside, they would be like, I don't think he's not a king. We don't know what he is, but the way his companions are about him, it's like something completely different. And so for us, we don't have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to carry his shoes on our head. But the minimum we can do is to learn about who he was. So last week we reached the point where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now proposed by Khadija radiallahu anha to marry. And he's around 25 years of this or during this time. And of course he consults with his uncle like he does regarding every single matter. And he marries Khadija radiallahu anha. And as we said, this is a great honor because Khadija radiallahu anha has been proposed by so many different people because she was a woman of great status, of great lineage, of great wealth, of so many different things. So people are coming to propose her, but she said no. And finally, she marries the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, during this age of 25 until the age of 35, there is very little, almost minute amount of detail that we have during this life. Because this was the time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dedicated to his family. Dedicated to his family. And unfortunately, today, we don't even consider it part of deen to spend time with our family, to raise our kids in a proper way, to spend time with them. But this is actually what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. This was his biggest responsibility, especially the religious, you know, circles today. Sometimes they may think that, okay, I need to go and do everything in the world. But when it comes to spending time with family, when it comes to raising the children in the right way, when it comes to doing that, we are completely negligent of that. And then when they reach the age of teenage and shaitan starts to overpower and they start to get involved in the wrong things, that's when we are like, oh my God, we need to do something. We need to this, we need to that, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the age of 25 all the way mainly till the age of 40, but around 35 to 40, this time is completely dedicated to his family, to his children, to his wife. And that's why we don't have that much information. One major incident that happens during this time is that at that time, slavery was common. And it wasn't the slavery that we know. In America, every time the word slavery is mentioned, just the slavery that was, you know, here established in America, that's the slavery that comes to mind. But that wasn't really the case at that time. It was basically prisoners of war. You get into a fight with a different tribe, and you win the battle, so whoever you have, you capture them, they're prisoners, and so they become the slaves. There's different things, but it was definitely not by color. So the Zayd ibn Haritha is a young man who his family, his mother's side and his father's side, they had dispute, and they had a fight going on amongst themselves. So the mother's side, in order to rage the father's side, they took Zayd ibn Haritha, went to the market, and sold him off as a slave. And then the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha was in the market, and Khadija had told him that, hey, I want you to buy a servant for me who could help me around in the house, because Khadija doesn't have a husband and doesn't have anybody else to help her. So she buys Hakim ibn Hizam, the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha, he buys Zayd and brings him, and now he's with Khadija. After some time, Khadija radiallahu anha gifts the slave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he becomes a slave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taking care of him and everything is going on as normal. And then the father of Zayd radiallahu anhu has been looking everywhere for his son. Where's my son? And anywhere he's going, he's crying about his son. And so some people told him that, hey, you know, we saw somebody who looked just like your son. And he's all the way in Makkah. And he's with the person named Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He's like, really? So they come all the way, travel from far away, the father and the uncle of Zayd radiallahu anhu. And when they come, they see, where is the Prophet? Right? At this time, he isn't a prophet. He's just Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He's like, where is Muhammad ibn Abdullah? So they meet him and they say, here he is. They talk to him and they say, hey, we're from this tribe and we have our son and he was by mistake sold into slavery and we're ready to give you whatever wealth you want, whatever ransom you want. We're ready to give you that. But please, please give us our son back. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, if he's really your son, then no problem, take him, no worries. So he calls Zayd radiallahu anhu, Zayd, come. You recognize these two guys? Zayd's like, yes. Who are these two? That's my father, that's my uncle. Great. Well, they've come to take you. Zayd's like, huh? Yes, they've come to take you, but I gave them one condition. And they agreed to that condition. The condition is, if Zayd decides to go, he goes, no problem. And if Zayd decides to stay, he stays. So he says, that's a condition. He's like, well, I decided. What did you decide? I decided to stay with you. And the father and the uncle's like, what? You're going to give up the comfort of your parents, the comfort of your house, living a luxury life and getting whatever you want. And you are going to be in slavery with this guy? And he's like, yes. I found in him what I could not find anywhere else. And so Zayd radiallahu anhu, he becomes what? He becomes from there, now he's with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His parent, his father and his uncle, they're in complete shock. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so overjoyed with this that he goes and he announces, oh people of Makkah, oh Quraysh, listen up. From today on, Zayd is my adopted son. And that time, when you used to claim that somebody's your adopted son, that was a big matter because now he's able to inherit from you. And all the laws that applies to a regular and real blood son now applies to your adopted son as well. So all of this happens. And of course, when this happens, now Zayd's status in society also comes up. And then we know later on is going to come in Seerah that then ayats were revealed in which you could have an adopted son. A lot of people have this misconception that because of those ayats, you're not allowed to have an adopted son. You could have an adopted son. However, the rules that apply to your regular son in terms of inheritance, in terms of halal, haram, all of that, that only applies to your regular son, does not apply to an adopted son. So that's the only thing that has changed. So then that happened. But Zayd radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, is an amazing personality that in this story we're just touching upon. But I welcome you to go and read more about him and share his story with your sons and your children as well, because he became such a companion and such a friend and such a son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that subhanallah, all of us can learn from. On the day of Ta'if, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being stoned by the kids and being thrown, what is Zayd radiallahu anhu doing? Zayd radiallahu anhu is going and covering him with himself. Let me be stoned. Let me be hit with the rocks, but not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And subhanallah, later on, Zayd radiallahu anhu has a son. His name is Usama. And Usama was such that he was known as the Hibbun Nabi, the beloved of the Prophet, to such an extent that when there's a matter and everybody's scared to go tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or ask for permission or something, they can't go, they'll say, go send Usama. Go send Usama. And so many narrations come where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explicitly showed his love for Zayd radiallahu anhu and for his son Usama radiallahu anhu. So this is somebody that we learn right now coming into the seerah. And of course, he's going to have multiple roles in seerah as we know that he passes away in the Ghazwa Mu'ta. And inshallah, we're going to come to that. But this is somebody now comes as a different character to the story. So this is now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is married. This story happens between the age of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being 25 and 35. At the age of 35, another very important incident happens. And that incident is the rebuilding of the Kaaba. Now, a lot of us think that the Kaaba today is actually exactly how it was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. It isn't. The Kaaba has been renovated multiple times throughout history, right? And so we realize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is about 35 years old. The Kaaba at this time, what happened is, if you realize, when you look at the map, Mecca is a valley. So all of the mountains are around it, and the Mecca is almost like in the center. So when it rains, all of the water would come down to the valley, and this basically weakened the foundation and the walls of the Kaaba. And so the Kaaba has been, you know, becoming weak over time, more and more weaker. And at that time too, the houses were very near. So there's another narration where a woman was cooking, and it caught a spark, and the Kaaba caught a spark, and it got on fire like that. Anyway, the condition of the Kaaba became pretty bad. And the Quraysh were like, hey, you know what? We need to remodel the Kaaba. So they all said that we need to take on this step. But in order to take on this step, we have to make sure that we do not put any haram wealth into building the Kaaba. And haram, they themselves knew. Any income that came through riba, interest, any money that came through prostitution, any money that came through any of those means, we're not going to put that into the Kaaba. We're going to put only pure wealth. And what happened at that time is the Caesar of Rome, he was building a nice church in Yemen. So he got beautiful rocks and wood and architectures, and everybody, they came and they said, filled up a ship, and they said, we're going to take this ship all the way to Yemen, so that this way we could build a nice, beautiful ship, a beautiful church. But what happened is a storm came, and that ship basically had a wreck. And the ship was completely broken and was not able to travel. And as we know, Jeddah today, it's a port city. So they basically came to the port of Jeddah, and they're not able to move forward. So the Quraysh, they heard about this, and they're like, whoa, this is a great opportunity. Why don't we go and buy that amazing wood, amazing rocks and stones that have been specifically picked out and designed for this amazing church? Why don't we buy that and build this with it? So they collected the money, they went, and unfortunately, they did not have enough money to buy. Of course, the people in the ship, they were like, let's just sell, because we need to get enough money to get back. Otherwise, if we don't sell this, we have nowhere to go. Ship is broken, so we can't go to Yemen. We can't stay here. It's not our house, and we have no money to go after, to go back. And so they do that. So now they get all the money, and they're basically about to rebuild the Kaaba. Now, when they're rebuilding the Kaaba, they don't have enough of material to build it, because in Ibrahim alayhi salam's time, it was a rectangle. The Kaaba was a rectangle. Today we see it as a square, as a cube. It wasn't like that. It was actually a rectangle. And plus, it wasn't so high, because one other incident that actually happened is some people actually tried to climb into the Kaaba and steal, because the Kaaba was known as a noble sacred place. So what people used to do is they used to go and they used to save their gold and any of their jewelry or whatever it may be, they used to save it there. So somebody actually climbed and they tried to do robbery. So that also caused some damage. So now they want to build it taller, but they cannot make it, they don't have enough to make it into a rectangle. So they decided that they're going to make it into a square. They make it into a square, but remember we read about the Arabs. For every single thing they would get into a fight, well, here's another reason. They're about to get into a fight because they're like, well, who's going to build it? Building the Kaaba was a great honor. And one tribe is like, we're going to do it. They're like, no, if you do it, then you guys are going to take all the honor. So what about our honor? So the other tribe is like, no, we're going to do it. And so they're about to get into a fight, and then somehow some sense comes, and they're like, all right, how about we basically, there's four sides, everybody builds a side. And so they start to build a side, and everybody's basically participating with their tribes, and they're building and building. Now another incident comes, it's time to put the Hajr Aswad. And now again, it's about to turn into a fight. But this time it's a real fight. They put their hands into blood, and they swore that they're going to go into fight and kill each other if somebody else is going to get the honor and not them of putting the Hajr Aswad over there. So they're fighting and fighting and fighting. And then Umayyad ibn Abi al-Mughira, he basically says, hey guys, just calm down. This is not something to fight over. How about we agree to this? The next person that comes from this door right here, how about he makes a decision? You guys happy with that? Everybody's like, yes, yes, we're very happy with this decision. And so who comes from that door? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody looks, oh, Muhammad, great, we're happy with him. And everybody thought so special of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they had such good relationship. Everybody thought that he's going to choose me. You know, just pause for a moment and think to yourself, what is your persona in this masjid even? What do people think of you? Are you that person that everybody loves? That everybody can say, yeah, this is him, he loves me. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just receive love, he gave love. He didn't just get respect, he gave respect. He wasn't just honored, he gave honor. And so the question you ask yourself is, when was the last time you did a gesture of honoring someone, of respecting someone, of showing love to someone, of showing somebody that they're special? When was it that you did something like that? And so we learn that this was who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and that's why everybody became to be like, yes, he's our guy, he's the guy that we want. And so everybody's happy with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, what's the matter? This is the matter. He's like, okay, go bring me a shawl like this, a chadar, right? And they bring a shawl. Okay, you all put the Hajri Aswad in here, and one tribe picks up this side, one this side, one this side, one this side. Every tribe is going to pick up the corner of the chadar. And everybody's happy with that. So everybody picks up the corner of the chadar, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picks up the Hajri Aswad himself and places it. So what does he do? He gives them honor, he respects them, and they feel all happy, and no more fight and no more blood. And at the same time, the honor belongs to him, that he's the one who did it. And so this basically happens at around the age of 35 of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is very important to recognize that now, just like the foundations of this is withering away, of the Kaaba is withering away, the Kaaba is a symbol of what? Is a symbol of Tawheed, is a symbol of the oneness of God. And so that has also withered away. There's no more Tawheed, there's no more oneness of God. It needs to be revived. And so this is a sign that it's about to be revived. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uniting all the tribes, he's about to unite the Ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about to take them from their jahiliyyah of death and murder and blood, he's about to take them out of all of that. And so that's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does that. Now, a few just things about Kaaba, and then inshallah we will end. Number one, as I said, that it was a rectangle. It became a square. Many of you probably have gone to Umrah or Hajj, and you see that half of a circle, which is called the Hatim. And so that's why scholars say that that part is technically part of the Kaaba. So if you were to pray inside the Hatim, it's as if you prayed inside the Kaaba. And that's one of the hikmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved for the Ummah, because subhanAllah, today you need to have connection with the royal family in order to go inside the Kaaba, right? But alhamdulillah, Allah has facilitated to a way where you still could get that honor. Majority of the people probably already have the honor that they prayed inside. They could say that they prayed inside the Kaaba, right? So that's one thing that we should keep in mind. The second thing is that, you know, right before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells Aisha radiallahu anha that if it wasn't for your people being new to Islam, I would have changed the Kaaba back to its original form. And the original form, as I said, one was the rectangle. The second thing that was different about it is that the door was not all the way high. The door was on the ground. The door was made high by the tribe of Makhzum because they're like, you know what? If somebody needs to enter into the Kaaba, they should come to us. We should have the honor to bring out the ladder, and we should have the key, and we should be able to give them permission. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, if the people weren't new to Islam, I would have brought the door back to the ground and I would have made it a rectangle. But look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hikmah, subhanallah. He knew the people aren't ready for that. And that's why you see this concept of tadarruj, this concept of going step by step, not overwhelming the people with, like, that's why I said, like, sometimes somebody becomes Muslim and we're like, oh, brother, and so is this done? Are you circumcised there? What's your name? What's this? What's that? Rabbi, slow down, right? Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew the people, and accordingly he worked with them. So we should also be very calm in how. Now, this doesn't mean that, okay, I'm going to be relaxed. I'm going to take Islam slowly. I'm not going to pay zakat for the next 20 years because I need to take my time. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that with new people, when you're trying to establish something in society as a whole, all of that. Anyway, just last two, three things and we'll finish. Now, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, who's the grandson of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he became the Amir of Makkah, at the time when there was, you know, at the time of Yazid, there was great conflict, but he became the Amir. So he said, what we're going to do is change it back to a rectangle. So he changed actually the Kaaba back into a rectangle. And then Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, he comes, and Hajjaj ibn Yusuf hated Abdullah bin Zubayr. So he's like, no, we're not going to do that. We need to change it back. So they changed it back. And then during Imam Malik's time, they say Harun Rashid was about to change it again into rectangle. And he spoke to Imam Malik rahimahullah, and Imam Malik is like, listen, Ya Amir, don't make this a toy of every king. Every king comes and says, I feel like I should be a rectangle. Another's like, I should be a square, and a rectangle and a square. So from there onwards, with the advice of Imam Malik, it stayed as is, and it hasn't been changed between that. Of course, it's maintained. It's, you know, different works have been done, but in terms of its structure, that's what it has been. So we see that the number one, regarding the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started off being trustworthy with a small thing, which is grazing shepherds. Because of that, he got an opportunity of going for a big business trip. Because of that, he was able to marry. Because of that, he was able to have kids, and he spent all the time to do the tarbiyah and the upbringing of those kids. And not just his kids, but he had such character that somebody like his slave would choose him over his parents. And similarly, he gave so much love and honor to the people that everybody felt comfortable with him in being selected. He played a crucial part in rebuilding the Kaaba, which is a symbol of rebuilding the wahdaniya and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then uses him. So inshallah, next week we're going to start with the wahi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're going to reach the age 40. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in infamy. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.